This is it. This is the year. Enough dreaming about growing my business online. It's time to get serious about selling in my style, as big as I want to grow, because there's nothing I can't do. It's time to get Shopify and take my business to the next level.
Whoa, someone's ready to take on the new year.
Oh, I thought I was talking to myself there. But heck yeah, 2023 is my year.
That's not your average resolution. That's a revolution.
It's a new year's revolution.
Start selling with Shopify to join the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Packed with industry-leading tools ready to ignite your growth, Shopify gives you complete control over your business and your brand. From templates that make site design simple to customizations that let you grow at your pace, this is possibility powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/free22. That's shopify.com/free22. Go to shopify.com to start your new year's revolution today.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
Alrighty, we are back. Listen, I'm watching this right now. McCarthy has 214, and they're just going. It looks like to me, he's not gonna get it. How many Republicans? Okay, how many Republicans do we have, Congressman?
222, Pat Bernie.
Okay, I don't think he's going to get it. He's got right now 216, but there's...
He needs two more.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You've got four others that have voted for others, and you've got two that have voted present. So I don't think there's going to be, that there'll be two more. Let me see what's happening. And meanwhile, go ahead and Ken, give us an update while we're watching this.
Yeah, I'm just fascinated. I pray this man stays exposed as who he is and he does not make it. We are at a critical point right now. This very day, January 6th, is the second year anniversary of the so-called Capitol riots that were promoted by, you know, government agents, period.
The coup. It was a coup.
Yeah. And so today is the day that the Supreme Court justices met in what they call a conference hearing in private. No one's in there. They discuss amongst themselves which cases they're going to hear. And one of those cases is case number 22-380. That's 22-380. Rowland Brunson versus Alma Adams, et al., and that's 488 members of Congress, and that includes Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, then Vice President Pence, and also Nancy Pelosi. So 488 government officials. If they decide to hear the case, they would then go into oral arguments in the next number of weeks. If it is possible that they could make a decision on their own in that the federal government decided not to defend itself through the Solicitor General. I forgot her name, but I can't think of her name. But she opted to not. So where they're at today, and I listened to Rowland Brunson talk on a podcast, a live broadcast last night to get the latest update, and spoke with Darren today. Darren is the brains behind it all. He said, there is not likely to be a public announcement on whatever the Supreme Court justices decide until Monday or Tuesday. That is the way they do things. They don't come out of the doors and say what they're doing. They wait a couple of days for the announcement to happen. So one of three things could happen. They could say, no, we're not going to hear it. Not likely. I really don't think that's possible based on the Supreme Court's support of the case. Number two, they could say, we're going to hear the case. But the third and best thing that could happen is that they decide behind closed doors that this case is adjudicated and that 388 members of Congress, I said 488, my apologies, 388, are officially fired and their credentials are revoked and rescinded and that the Sergeant of Arms is not to allow them into the Capitol and they can never hold a government office again, anywhere, dog catcher, all the way up and down. They can never serve in government again. And that the states then have to send in their replacements as they choose, because the states have the right to send back replacements. And wouldn't that be the most beautiful thing? And it would revert back to where it was until a new vote could happen. And that would put President Trump back in office.
Well, you know, if this happens, I know here in Ohio that the Tea Party is going to be camping out upon the State House. And whoever it is that makes, who chooses those congressmen, do you think it would be the governor?
Well, you know, I think every, you know, I don't know the answer, but I believe every state has within its own constitution, bylaws, et cetera, a means to replace an official, a federal official that represents the state. I don't know the answer, but I believe it's varied by state. And I forgot to mention the message that Darren Brunson offered specifically for your audience, Pastor. He said, don't stop praying. Don't stop writing the letters. We don't necessarily believe this thing is going to be fast and easy, and we're ready for many contingencies. Keep praying, keep writing, and help continue with the energy, as he called it, to create a flow and a wave that will continue and carry this thing forward. The officials in Washington, D.C. that are good, they do take note and listen to the letters and pay attention to realize that they're not alone in standing up. And he says, this is very important. Please don't stop praying. Please don't stop sending the letters. Please don't stop educating people. This thing is going forward. By the way, he said, I only have a minute or two to talk to you, Ken. And he said, here's why. We're signing writs. Now, I'm no expert on this, but that has to do with law and orders that are sent out to a judge to sign to then have an action happen. I don't know. I didn't ask. It wasn't my place to ask, but he only had a couple of minutes. Ken, thanks for calling. Here's the message. Why? Because he was signing writs. Wow. I don't know what it means, but I think it's a good sign.
All right. Very,
They're
very good.
For anything. Yep.
All right, I wanted to say this here too, because you know we fight here local like you guys do, on the local basis in government, and again here in Ohio, the Tea Party is very, very prevalent, and this coming and tomorrow out in our country, our county, Jug County here tomorrow, is going to be an election for the Board of Elections, for the head of the Board of Elections here in Jug County. Now, you have two candidates. One of them we had on the radio program like last night, Mike Petrocelli. Mike is a real, true Christian patriot, a very, very strong Christian patriot. And he is going to be there along with, the other one is basically, the other candidate is a rhino. And remember, the other candidate was the one that actually sent out flyers and letters to the Democrats, telling the Democrats, and we warned ahead of time, remember, we warned ahead of time that they were going to do this stuff, telling the Democrats to register in the primaries as Republicans, go and register as Republicans and vote for, at that time, the person at that time had been a lifelong Democrat and switched over to run as a Republican, which is still, you know, and so, and they did this all across the state. They were doing this, but because we're a strong, we lost a couple, but for the most part, you know, we did very good. I would say here in Ohio, we did over 80% of our people got in, close to probably to 90 now. But anyhow, so tomorrow there's going to be, and we're going to we're asking people to come out because tomorrow is when all the precinct leaders come to vote. That's who's going to, the county precinct leaders will come and vote on the head. And so what happens is we're asking people to come out tomorrow morning. They're at about 8:30 tomorrow morning at the Metzenbaum Center, where we normally have our meetings. We're asking all of you folks out there listening, those of you that often come out, every one of you that come out to the Tea Party meetings on a regular basis. We're asking you to come out tomorrow morning at the Metzenbaum Center at about 8:30 in the morning, between 8:30 and 9, and tell those folks, because your precinct men will be there, okay? And you need to tell them that they need to vote for a patriot, a Christian patriot like Mike Bertuzzelli, and not a rhino. You need to be out there tomorrow at 8:30. And so please come out there and do it. You've got to start with, you know, we're really on the verge of making our county out here a total constitutional county. We're getting close to doing that. And so, but we have the enemies, and we have the communists, a very small percentage of communists, but the ones that have really been hurting us here are the rhinos. The rhinos are the ones, you know, the traitor Tories. They're called traitor Tories. So, there, I wanted to say that.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Could I interject here? You know, I was really worried about McCarthy and was so excited that they were holding the line, and I realized that I couldn't just sit back and fret about it or even just pray about it. I actually had to get up and do something about it. So I went ahead and grabbed my Congressman John Curtis, his website, and I sent him a message, and I said, subject, McCarthy, no, 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 no. Comment, McCarthy is a rhino. And if we want more of the same D.C. dysfunction, then keep voting for this special interest and U.N. principled, quote-unquote, leader who stabbed Trump in the back and we the people in the back. Are you a rhino, Mr. Curtis? Are you twisting the knife? And by the way, Mr. Curtis was a Democrat Party leader for a number of years and then switched his cap, put on a Republican cap, and is pretending to be a Republican. He's definitely a rhino. And like Romney in our state, these rhinos must be outed and they must be removed. There is a way that people can find their leaders by going to, because some people don't know. It's disappointing they don't know, but if you don't know, that's okay. Go to congress.gov, and then there's a place that you can go members/find your member, and you can find that. I can send that link to Pastor Ernie, and he can put it up. But you can find out who your leaders are if you don't know, and it'll help you find how to contact them.
All right, now
would that help, Pastor?
Yeah, that would help. Here again, now they have. This is an amazing thing because the vote come on. He come up short again, and
oh, hallelujah.
It's, yeah, he look, you only have so many members of Congress, and Jeffries came up with his number. He's only two votes short right now. There's four that have voted for other people, four Republican holdouts. And do you notice how the Democrats are in lockstep? Nasty Pelosi taught them well. She put the fear of old Nasty in them, okay? But we have four holdouts now. And so my guess is because of the late hour. Of course, I don't know if he lets them go home, if they want to come back. But my guess is that they'll probably take those four holdouts and then the two that voted present, and really beat on them over the weekend, and offer them the moon to get them to switch over. Because all he needs is two more to switch over. So that's probably, my guess is that we're going to probably end up with McCarthy. Now, McTernan, do you think that McCarthy is going to, because of all of what's going on and all of the going back and forth with Chip Roy, the two real major holdouts are the big ones are Getz. And Matt Gaetz and little Bobright woman. Those are the.
Yeah, Gaetz there. He voted for Trump.
Yeah, I know he did. He nominated him.
Yeah.
And so here, let's see what's going to happen here. They're going to...
Pastor Ernie, these people are absolute geniuses. These politicians are evil geniuses. They know the system. They know how to play it. They've got the top lawyers in the world. They set up all sorts of plans for money, and then they got power behind the scenes that we never hear of, we never see. So we may win a couple things around the edges with him as the Speaker of the House. But in the long run, what they want, meaning the deep state, they're going to get from him. They've got so much on him. I mean, he's probably, I don't know of any direct bribes he's taken, all, but he's a creature there. They've got so much on him, Pastor, and he'll have to do their bidding.
Well, he's a member of the World Economic System, right?
In fact, I sent you an information there where he's...
Yeah, we talked about that last night. He had lunch with Klaus Schwab twice.
Yes.
And he was a part of the World Economic... That in itself right there is... That's a black eye right there.
Oh, you need to know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah.
And so here now, then you have all these organizations, again, the same old thing. Now, when they took polls, you see, because you have Hannity and you have, oh, man, Fox News is just really going after the 20 that were holding out. They were really reaming them. But that 20 are fed up. They're fed up. They're tired of being betrayed. They're really tired of being betrayed. And so here now, when they took polls to find out where the people, if the people in the country felt that way, and about 60% of the people said no, they didn't. They did not want him. They wanted McCarthy to step down. And so, you know, here you would think by listening to even Fox News, now the only ones that was with us, that stood with us on Fox News, was Tucker Carlson.
Good.
Yeah. And so all the rest caved. All the rest caved in.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, my congressman here in Texas, Crenshaw.
Oh, yeah.
The one I banded.
What a disappointment.
He came out and literally said that the 20 congressmen there standing against McCarthy were terrorists and insurrectionists. Literally, that's what he said.
That is... the kettle calling the outside black.
Yeah. Wow. So I called his office and I spoke to one of his assistants and I said, this is the Democrat tactics, calling those that are against you terrorists and insurrectionists. I said he shows no integrity, he's like a hothead. That's what I called him. I said, he's like a hothead. And he said he really is over his head as a congressman. He really should come home. I said, it's too bad that he was just elected. You know, it's time for him, I think, to step down.
Well, he was one of the ones.
Oh.
Yeah, he sold us out, too. He was one of the ones that really sold us out big time when it came to the insurrection by the coup by the Communist Party on January 6th.
He loves, oh my God, I've got one of your moments, Pastor Ernie.
Let me help you for just a second. One of the things that he's known for is having suddenly been magically able to pick all the right stock and is making a fortune on stock investments. How does that happen?
Hillary must have taught him how to do that.
No, yeah. Pastor Ernie, that woman, Congresswoman there from Wyoming, Cheney.
Oh yeah,
Liz Cheney. Yeah. Oh, he loves her, and the Rittinger from Illinois, he loves her, and Cheney, in the 6 years, I think it was six years, she gained about $20 million in her net worth in 6 years of being a congresswoman.
And when everybody asked her to be taken off the committee that she was on, McCarthy did not. He refused to take her off. He reappointed her.
That's what I mean. How could we? So we'll probably win a couple things that they don't really care about. We probably will with him in there because it was such pressure and he's under the limelight and all. But the big things that they want, Pastor Ernie, he's a creature. He's one of them. So yeah. I don't see us winning.
I beg to differ. I always like to keep an open window for a miracle. Here's the miracle that could happen, okay? They can't get it done tonight. They decide to go home over the weekend. The Supreme Court decides to announce on Monday that they are now not only, they don't need to hear the case, the Brunson case versus Alma Adams et al., the 388 congresspeople, they're fired. Oh, my goodness. Now they have no place to go except for home. I would hope that miracle could happen. Will it happen? This is the Lord's will be done. But I believe he's exposing all the creatures. And they, I believe, are desperate. They have to have McCarthy in there. And what we need is whistleblowers and Supreme Court officials, or justices, I should say, and the Lord's Spirit brooding upon them to do the right thing. Whistleblow, vote appropriately, and hold that line. Do not let that man take the reins. Because once he does, Congress is useless to us. I hope that the Lord has a miracle on this. But he may let us suffer and suffer the blow and the crush. We'll have to see.
Well, one thing that was very disappointing for me was Trump got behind McCarthy.
Ordered him. What was that about?
Trump seems to be just melting away, really.
His speech yesterday sounded different, though. It sounded like he knew something that we didn't. If you get a chance, try to listen to that. Look up Trump's January 5th speech, and there's a new man there. I don't know when he threw his support behind McCarthy, but I think it was a couple, 3 days ago. But yesterday, it's almost as if he knows that he's walking back into the White House, the speech he gave yesterday. I don't know what's going on. All I know is we should not put our trust in man under any circumstances, but only trust God. We just put up an article at cedarhillcitizens.org talking about the divine numerology going on with the number 118. Are you aware of the fact that there are at Psalms 118 verse 8 is the very, very middle of the Bible? Have you heard about this?
Oh yeah. Yes.
And that there's 594 chapters before that Psalms 118, and that there's 594 chapters after Psalms 118. And when you add those two numbers up, it ends up being 1118. And that at the very middle, what the verse, Psalms 1, give me just a moment, I'll find it here so I get the quote right. I don't want to say this wrong. Give me one moment, please. God moves in mysterious ways, divine warning and value in the number 118. And here's what that one verse at the very center of the Bible says. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Guess what Congress we're in right now? This is the 118th Congress. What? Are you kidding? Is the Lord trying to give us a message or what? We are not to put our trust in these men. We are to trust in God and God alone. We can petition them, we can write them letters, we can pray, but the prayer is to God, not them. God and one man is a majority, and that's where I know you good folks want to be too. We want to stand with the Lord and not put our trust in man. So that you could find that article at cedarhillcitizens.org, and the article is, I think, two or three down, and it's called God Moves in Mysterious Ways, Divine Warning and Value in the Number 118. It's crazy, amazing how perfect our God is.
Amen. Absolutely, he is. And, you know, we're to be salt and light, but also, John, when the Bible talks about we have liberty in Christ, what are we to, how are we to use our liberty? He's given us that liberty to do what?
Well, that liberty is to follow the Lord and to do what's right, Pastor Ernie. And we're not under the bondage of the law, but we're under the grace of Jesus Christ to follow him as according to his word.
Absolutely. So here again, you're absolutely right. We are too. And what does he tell us? Remember, he gives us three very, very distinct, very clear missions. Three missions. Mission one is the Great Commission, right? That's first and foremost. Mission two, from Genesis to Revelation, couldn't be any clearer than resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Can you give me some examples of those that resisted tyranny?
Well, Daniel and Shadrach, and Abednego.
Let's go back a little bit, all the way back to, let's go all the way back to the flood. Did Noah give in to the world, or what did Noah do? Noah, he preached repentance for 120 years. Would you say that that's resistance to tyranny, preaching repentance to folks?
It, of course.
All right. And then you had Shiphrah and Puah, the two women who worked for Pharaoh, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Shiphrah and Puah, they were government employees, and their job was to their job was to be wet nurses, or what? See, they were called what were they called? Shiphrah and Puah, Hebrew
midwives.
Midwives, yeah. There was but there was another name for her too, in the Hebrew. Let me see. I'm trying to think of. I'm trying to remember what they were called. But anyhow, they were, their job, that now Pharaoh told them to all the male babies, all the male Hebrew men, to drown them. And what did they do in those days too? They took them and they put them in the river. They sacrificed them to their God. And that was the God with the man's body and the alligator's head, and they would throw them into the Nile River. But what happened, again, they were government employees. Now, let me tell you, what do you think Pharaoh would do in those days to a government employee that purposely were disobeying his orders?
Permanently fire them with their head?
Yeah, they would not die quickly. They would probably die very slowly. But these two women obeyed God, and they resisted tyranny. And they kept the men, male babies, born alive. And then remember that fellow Moses? He had a mother, right? And his mother, did she bow down to Pharaoh? Because she was supposed to turn her baby in. But what did she do?
Okay. Well, she trusted God and sent the baby on the Nile. You know, Moses in a little raft on the Nile. And that's when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses.
And so Miriam, the little girl, his sister, older sister, was right there to make sure. But again, if they had been caught doing that by Pharaoh, and yet they would have suffered a terrible death, but they were courageous, weren't they? They obeyed God. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Yes.
Okay, they were told, well, they did step into a fiery furnace, right? But did they bow down to tyranny?
No.
No. When they told Daniel he couldn't pray, just like what they try to tell us to do, that's what Babbitt's mother was arrested for today in D.C. for praying. She was arrested for praying there. But Daniel, he ended up in the lion's den, but he obeyed God rather than men, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, going all the way down the line, what about Elijah?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, Pastor, can I help you? It just seems that pretty much any Bible hero is usually in direct defiance against government. Isn't that interesting? Because
well,
the government's leading the people astray, usually.
One day I had a prissy preacher who was on the radio, and he was saying, as long as it's legal, he said, you'll never catch me out in front of an abortion mill protesting as long as it's legal. If it's legal, then we are to obey the government. Well, I called him up and said, right live on the air, I will never catch you doing anything that takes any courage and integrity to do. Well, I confronted this fellow, and he said to me, I don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says I'm supposed to stand against the government. I asked him a question. Have you ever heard of the prison epistles? He said, of course I have. I said, why do you think they're called prison epistles? He said, well, because they were written from prison. I said, were these men in prison for obeying God or government? He said, you know what? I never thought of that. You've really made a point here. I think I'm going to have to change my position. How smart is that, fellas?
Oh, my.
Pastor Ernie, I think of Esther when she had to go against the king's decree to go before him to save the Jewish people.
Yeah. And remember, Mordecai told her, if you don't do it, Esther, God will find another way. Okay. And so Esther obeyed God rather than man, didn't she?
Yes.
And she stuck her neck out. And so
she knew on whom she could trust.
Look at John the Baptist.
Oh, absolutely. John the Baptist, again, he outed old Herod, didn't he? He really told old Herod, you know, you've taken another man, your brother's wife. But that's what we need. We need to be bold and courageous. Remember, there was a time in this country when the norm for pastors, for the norm for the pastors was to be bold and courageous, okay? Today it's just the opposite.
Like Rogue Regiment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And we still have a Black Robe Regiment today. I'm a part of that. And you guys
thank
are
you
too.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, thank the good Lord that he called. That's the charge, and we need to continue to do that. We've got to run to this battle. We got to do like what Carl Kling says, fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross. Do you guys want to take a few phone calls?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Are the lines lit up yet? Yeah, usually by this time they're all lit up. Let's go to New Jersey with Bill. Bill, you're in the air.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ernie. You never cease to amaze me. Yeah, here's Webster's meaning of abominable. It comes from the French abomination, which is a noun, adjective, nasty, disgusting, vile, loathsome, disagreeable. Very unpleasant, very bad, to be blunt, hateful, detestful. So your pastor was right. I added to abhor. Pastor, I wanted to ask you a question about Micah 5. Is that referring to the line of Joseph? Because he had a son named Ephraim.
Okay, now did you say Micah 5?
I think you quoted Micah 5, yeah.
Did I do that tonight here?
Yes, you
no,
did.
No, I didn't.
Micah
5 or Micah 4?
It was Hosea. I think
no,
it was
no,
Hosea.
I quoted Hosea. It was Hosea.
Right.
Oh, Hosea, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when it refers to Micah 5, is it talking about the line of Joseph? Because it says Ephraim.
John, that's your expertise.
Well, yes, Ephraim comes from, he's one of the sons, Manasseh and Ephraim are one of the sons of Joseph.
Oh, okay.
That's right, yeah.
That's
right.
So much.
That's right. All right, you're
thank
welcome.
You, Pastor.
Thank you. Have a good night. Who do you have next?
You too.
Okay, who do you have next out there? Who do we have next? Oh, we have our co-host Clifford. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing? I want to go to Psalm 107, but before that, there's an article on LifeSite News that's pretty long. So I'd recommend clicking at the bottom. It'll read it to you in a woman's artificial intelligent voice on cancer and the shot. So it's up there now. Very lengthy article, but it goes all over the world, and it explicitly goes into the mechanisms of how the shot is causing cancer. But going to Psalm 107, verses 9 to 14.
I know those verses.
Yeah.
For he that satisfieth and longeth the soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned for counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor and fell down there, none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands asunder. So what's your questions?
Yeah, my question is, they give like three examples in that psalm of people, a large group of people getting into difficulties, including a ship astray or caught in a storm. So I see that as all of those being in the valley of the shadow of death. Even type of thing, and I would relate that to Psalm 107. And at the end of it, the psalmist says, observe these things, which is interesting. You know, it uses that word, observe. So I was thinking of this as like an imprecatory prayer. We're asking the Lord to put these depopulation people into the valley of the shadow of death. And it has the refrains. All the refrains say, praise the Lord for his goodness and his wondrous work. So it's the Lord's goodness that he's putting some of these people into these quandaries. It is an imprecatory prayer, in my opinion, but I just want your opinion or take on it.
Well, he starts off by telling you to let the redeemed of the Lord say that they're redeemed of the Lord. In other words, they're to praise God for their salvation. And he ends with by going down to verse 21. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works for the children. But the whole point about that is that God will bring the rebellious to repentance, that he brings the rebellious there to repentance. And because when they did repent, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. And he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And simply that shows it's a psalm about God's mercy. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I agree with you, Pastor Ernie. Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think, Ken?
I can't argue against that. It's a very good explanation. I am convinced that the Lord God is incredibly merciful.
Already. He is, isn't he?
Yeah, I was just going to say my dear uncle just turned 90 years of age, and he on his birthday, he made a little message to all of his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren saying that he marvels at how merciful God is, that when he, throughout his life, he's had little small prayers that were just inconsequential. I have a headache. Or, you know, whatever. And that the Lord has time and mercy in those things. And he sees the Lord's hand so many times throughout his 90 years that he just marvels and he wanted his children to know that his God is a merciful, kind, and tender God.
Amen. All right. Very good. All right. Thanks. Who do we have next?
We got Lee in Michigan.
Let's go out to Michigan with Lee. Lee, you're in the air.
Hey, thanks, Pastor Arnie, for taking my call. It's my first time calling. I just want to say, whenever you brought up the three men in the fiery furnace, my favorite verse is chapter 3, verse 18, where he says, even if he doesn't rescue us, we're not going to bow down to you. And if America would repent and say those kind of words and have that kind of faith, we could have life still.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for the time.
Amen.
You're absolutely right. You couldn't be more right than that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Who did you have next there?
Minnesota.
Let's go out to Minnesota with John. John, you're in the air.
Hey, you guys. This is really mind-blowing to me because the first gospel sermon I heard when I became a Christian, after I became a Christian, a fellow at work invited me to his church, and the text was Psalm 118, 8 and 9. And it was just before the election with Nixon. And that was a memorable time in my Christian life. It was the first real sermon I ever really heard the gospel expounded. And I believed, but I didn't really have much knowledge at that time at all. And so it was a groundbreaking moment for me. And for you to bring this up, Ken, tonight is just phenomenal to me. And what a providence for me. Thank you so much for that.
You are so welcome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is perfect. And we just have to open our eyes and our ears and take note. I'm glad that you noticed that. And forgive me, Pastor Ernie, just to add, if anybody wants to see that article that highlights that, once again, CedarHillCitizens.org, and it's talking about the man, let's see, it's called, sorry, just real quick, God Moves in Mysterious Ways, Divine Warning and Value in the number 118, question mark. It's a good article. Should be faith-promoting. Go ahead.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Thanks, John. Who do you have next?
Nobody else.
Okay. John, tell the yes, folks sir. About, you know, you're a movie maker, and you and I, we discovered that we know a whole lot of the same people out there over the years, and you were in the situation where you had 75 federal agents storm your house. 75 when your wife was home alone.
Yes,
tell the folks about that.
It's quite the story. We, our story began in a nutshell in about, it was January of 2017, actually, and we, this is personal, but hey, there's no time to hide and hold back anymore. We prayed to the Lord, Barbara, who's sitting beside me, and we said, Lord, we want you to make us yours. We offer everything to you, our lives, our home, our family, our sacred honor, anything and everything that we are or ever hope to be, we give to you. We know that this will be a test and that it'll be hard, but we promise that we'll hold true. Within days, we're hit with United States of America versus Barbara and Ken Cromar out of Cedar Hills, Utah. He used to be a city councilman. We finally figured out that what happened is that we were fighting for the right things, exposing the bad guys. They couldn't take it anymore. And so what they did was, and there's no way to prove this, but we're really quite clear on it, they weaponized the IRS against us, claiming that we owed $1,053,028.65. And we went, we said, okay, Lord, this is a tough one, but we'll give it a try. We'll do whatever you want us to do. That has led to 18 court cases, 5 years and 2 months. We are pointed towards the United States Supreme Court on a habeas corpus issue. Within those 18 cases, we had the 75-man SWAT team hit. There was no warrant. It was all fabricated. But 75, President Trump, as important as he is, has been, he had 30 agents. Roger Stone, his friend, had 29. I'm trying to remember, Steve Bannon, we don't know how many, around 20, it's believed. Then there's the good man who was fighting against abortion. He had 20, I think. We had 2.5 times as many. Why? We just don't know why. And then today, we learned something. We posted a new article on CedarHillCitizens.org about money and those things. And we helped the state of Utah turn gold and silver into legal tender. It may sound like a small thing, but our world is about to change. The Babylon is falling, and we can all be a part of it by just standing where we're at in whatever small way. I'm telling you, Satan's minions are losing heart. They are thrashing about. Satan himself knows he's going down. All he's trying to do is grab anybody and everybody he can bring underwater with him, and yet they see that the Lord is the victor. And he wins. It's already written. It's over. It was over a long time ago. But we choose to stand, and we had 75-man SWAT team hit us. If you're interested, we have a website called MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com. There's a tab there called Barbie and Ken's Greatest Videos, and you can see what it looks like to have your home sold by auctioned off on a courthouse steps in Salt Lake City on September 10th of 2019. I'd get the years mixed up. 19. And then to walk back in your house months later when you realize that you still had the title, and then to get hit by a 75-man SWAT team. We'd already been hit by a 13-man U.S. Marshal team. You have to stand on the truth, and that's where we're at. We may end up in the Supreme Court on a habeas corpus issue, a foundational constitutional law issue, very soon, shortly behind the Brunsons. And wouldn't you know it, seven houses down, Loy Brunson is a neighbor, and he and his brothers are in the Supreme Court right now. Wow, we worship a great God, because he will use the weak and small things of the earth to do great miracles. We're nobody. We know it, Barbara and I. We're sitting here together. We're homeless. But we will do what it is that we have to do to stand for what's right and true. And it's that little push. If everybody prays, if everybody hangs in there, and everybody supports each other and does what they can where they are at, that's all God needs from us. He'll make up the difference. And boy, when he makes up the difference, he knows how to make up the difference.
He certainly does. Let me tell you what happened some years ago. And I wasn't even aware of it. You had an abortionist who was a very infamous abortionist. And so what we did is I picketed his home. I went right out there, and I picketed his home. Well, they passed an ordinance where he lives because he had the money, and they were very liberal, that you could not do that. You could not picket an abortionist's home, okay? And so I challenged it anyhow. I went out. Now, what we did, as long as you didn't could stay only in front of his house, in other words, if you walked up and down the sidewalk and you went to houses on both sides, then that was allowed, but you couldn't stand just in front of his house. Now, so we did that, and the police would come by watching us, and they would wave, but we outed the abortionist, because a lot of his neighbors didn't know he was an abortionist. They thought he was an actual doctor. And so what happened, Jay Sekulow called me, and he said, I want you to challenge this ordinance that they passed there. I don't even know how he found out about it, but I said, I don't have to. I already did. And I said, we challenged it, and the police came by. The police drove by and waved at us then several times. And so there, right there with that challenge, the fact that we challenged it, we weren't arrested. They took that case with us. Now, I didn't even know about it until Dr. Jack Wilkie told me. He said, did you know that you just you had a case there before the Supreme Court? And I said, no, I didn't even know it. And I guess Jay Sekulow brought it up there, and they ruled that you could do that. And you could, as long as you didn't stay right directly in front of just one house, but if you went past up and down, you could do it. We did it, and now that's strange, isn't it? That's how, you know, I mean, here, I didn't even know it, but our case actually went to the Supreme Court. It's been an interesting life, I can tell you that. And, right, McTernan?
Amen, Pastor Ernie. My faith would not be where it is if it wasn't for standing for the babies and standing for life. It's enriched me. It's strengthened me. It gave me a lot of courage, you know, to stand when the whole political system is against you.
Absolutely. And, you know, with John Holman, we had John was a man of honor. He was a godly man, a man of integrity. And he went home to be with the Lord, but he didn't back down. And I think maybe we might have a guy here with us tonight that maybe filling John's shoes. What do you think?
Those are big shoes, right? To fill, Pastor Ernie.
Yeah, they're big. John was a real godly man. I mean, he always put other people first, and he was bold too, very, very bold. Him and John McTernan there, they stood up against those that were abusing the elderly in the nursing homes there in Pennsylvania. And they also stood up out there at the bloody abortion mills. And John won a big, big case against the city of York.
That changed law, Pastor Ernie. That's federal law now, that case that we won against York.
You won against the corrupt government. I mean, everybody was on Planned Parenthood's payroll. The police department, the prosecutor. The judge had to recuse himself because everybody was on Planned Parenthood's payroll. But you beat him, John.
Yeah, and we did. We beat him in federal court. And the thing, Pastor Ernie, it was the governor's wife, Randell, and he was super liberal, and so was she. But what York did to me with my constitutional rights was so outrageous that they took my side, a 67-page opinion, and they brutalized the judge. They sent back the case to him for retrial, and they said that it was like elementary law 101. So the judge was a Planned Parenthood judge, and he went to, I don't know how he could do this, but he forced the city of York, he pressured them to settle out of court. So that's how we got settled out. That's how we settled out of court in that case.
Wow. Hang tight. Right. Guess what? We're out of time for tonight. And I didn't realize we were running up the clock. So, folks out there, very quickly, I just got to say thank you guys for being here. And, folks, the bottom line is, look, we have a battle. As long as you're here, you are to run to the battle. You are to run to the battle, but you're to keep your eyes on the prize. And always remember this, that the day will come. It's appointed for all men once to die, and then the judgment. You don't want to die in your sin. When you die, you're going to heaven or hell, and you don't want to go to the latter. So make sure, read the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Read it and do it. Until tomorrow, we want to say good night, God bless, and always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.